Good morning and welcome to St. Paul's. My name is Ben and I'm glad that you've come to join us here on this March break in the middle of Lent. Very glad that you're here, including those that are online with us. So we all pray, whether we think of it as prayer or not. Maybe it's the woo as the airplane leaves the ground, or it's the whew as the wheels touch back down. And perhaps it's the odd silence when we encounter something very beautiful, the blooming of flowers that are going to come in a few more weeks. Or perhaps it's when something really bad has happened, the news of those two families, tragic, in Ottawa and in Nashville, the dreaded medical diagnosis. Maybe it's October 7th last year or February 24th the year before. We all have these exclamations of shared joy and also shared pain. All prayers in some way. And in our self-help, self-care society, prayer might be a cathartic venting to the universe, or might be an encouraging pep talk to ourselves when things are going tough. But for all of us gathered here this morning, for whatever reason that has brought you here, we are searching, we are hoping, we are trusting that there is someone out there listening. At its simplest definition, prayer is talking and listening to God. And here at St. Paul's, together with many Christians around the world, we consider prayer one of the most important activities in our lives because it connects us to God. And even in its simplicity, prayer is also learned. We need someone to teach us to pray, whether it's written daily prayers or it's breath prayers. We all, myself included, we could all benefit from learning to pray. So this morning, we're going to explore some of the how of prayer. The disciples asked Jesus, "Teach us to pray." And Jesus responds with his most famous words, words that billions have memorized and recited, words that we've just prayed. And we also consider the who of prayer. Who is on the other side of those prayers? Because prayer is a form of communication with God, talking and listening. And you've probably heard it in the business world or somewhere in your studies, perhaps the medium is the message. But more than the medium, more than the message, with prayer it matters so much more of who is listening. So in general, there are only a few ways to pray. Three or four big buckets: thank you, sorry, and please. And a few years back, a writer, Anne Lamott, her New York Times bestseller about essential prayer, it was basically named Help, Thanks, Wow. And basically covering a lot of the same categories. Thank you is that recognition of who God is, of what God has done in our lives, of what God has done in creation, of what God has done through Jesus on the cross. And then sorry is this one area that we've been giving extra focus during our season of Lent. As we reflect on our own lives and we can see how we fall short of our own standards, but also on God's ideal and God's design for our lives. And then when we have reflected, we offer back to God our confession and we ask for forgiveness. So most of our prayers, if we're actually honest though, most of our prayers are that last kind, please. Asking God for things. Or as Anne Lamott says, help, help, help. Prayer requests for ourselves, but also intercessions when we pray for other people, when we pray for the needs and the cares of the world, and we intercede on their behalf. And that's the kind of prayer that we're going to focus our attention on this morning. As we continue our Lenten journey, we journey with Jesus towards Jerusalem. His disciples are walking and they're learning with Jesus. They're soaking in, they're learning from him. And they've already now learned at least two things. First, that Jesus is special. He's set apart. He's holy. He's been doing these miracles, feeding, healing, teaching people. But Jesus also prays regularly. He removes himself. He withdraws to hidden places to connect with God. Jesus, teach us to pray. And so Jesus teaches them the words that now we've come to know as the Lord's Prayer. This version of the Lord's Prayer that we read this morning, it's a little bit different from the one in Matthew. But it shouldn't bother us so much that they're a little bit different. but it should rather encourage us that Jesus probably taught this prayer multiple times in multiple places to his disciples, because his disciples needed to be taught and probably reminded and retaught again. And they have the same common areas of prayer. Thank you, sorry, please. And there's lots of fuller, deeper dives into the Lord's Prayer, books aplenty. And some of you might have joined Bishop Jenny for our pre-Lenten prayer day back in February, where she walked line by line through the prayer. But here's a quick rundown. Father, hallowed be your name. Before we get on even too far, there's a little bit of a short detour here, because first of all, God isn't male. God isn't a father like our human dads. And this might be obvious, but it might not be. In the beginning, God created humanity in God's image. In Genesis, God created both of them, male and female, to reflect the divine image of God, the Imago Dei. And God is also described as a mother hen with chicks under her wing, and the wisdom of God is personified as a woman. So Jesus uses Father because he is the Son of God and talking to his Father in heaven. And we are also children of God. And so it's not a dodge when we call God in heaven as Father, because that's how Jesus talks to God in heaven. And as Tyler often says, take it up with Jesus. So hallowed be your name. We don't use that word hallowed very much other than Halloween, but it basically means to be revered, respected, set apart, special. And that line has a double meaning. It's a statement and also a request. God, your name is respected, revered because of who you are, a statement, but it's also a request. God, we desire your name to be revered and respected, because in many lives and in many places around the world, that's not happening. The hockey playoffs are just around the corner, and so consider the Toronto Maple Leafs. Back in the 1940s, 50s, 60s, they were revered, respected. They won back-to-back-to-back Stanley Cups. I know this is like in ancient history now. But then the name Maple Leafs became a joke, something to be sneered at. And every playoffs, Toronto hockey fans, we pray for their team. Now you're hearing my resonance here. We pray for our team to be respected and revered again. And that next line, your kingdom come, is simply a continuation of hallowed be your name. We are asking God to reign over all the world. Reign. Something like the Maple Leafs becoming reigning champions. At least we know God will succeed. So following these two requests for God's name and God's kingdom, Jesus teaches these three simple and short requests. Give us daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Do not bring us or deliver us from the time of trial. These three requests are help prayers, requests to God. Give us our daily provisions, what we need, help. It's not about hoarding extra. Forgive us, help, restore us. Forgive us requires us to already say sorry, first of all, and then it also needs us to forgive others who have said sorry to us. Help, help us from the time of trial. And they almost sound rude, impolite perhaps. Not a kind of, would you help if you got the chance? Not even a please, actually, in these cases. They're short, they're simple. Help, help, help. They're not flowery, they're not filled with niceties, because these prayers and requests are from children to a loving parent, a loving Father in heaven who is always listening. After Jesus gives this model, this example of the Lord's Prayer, words that we can say and we did already say, Jesus gives another how of prayer. Not an example this time, but now an attitude of prayer. The mini parable of the neighbor at midnight is both serious, but it's also a bit absurd too. It's serious because sometimes you actually have guests to serve. Perhaps an unexpected guest has come from out of town, needs food and rest. Hospitality in Jewish society and in many Eastern cultures, it's still a big deal. Welcoming the stranger is based on this ancient hospitality. So you have nothing to offer, no bread, no snacks. What a shame. And so you knock on your neighbor's window, lend me 3 loaves of bread, just enough for a small meal. just enough to meet your duty and obligation of hospitality. This is not a selfish request. It's not even for you. It's for your guest. The absurd part is that your friend is awake. Your friend is awake and tells you to literally get lost. The kids are sleeping. What an excuse. It's too much of a hassle to tiptoe your way around. Too bad. So sad. Go away. And then Jesus says, because of your persistence, and I'm actually going to replace that, because of your annoyance, your so-called friend will give you what you need. Jesus is telling us here, ask God with persistence. Ask God with the annoying repetition of a child as one of God's children. Ask with persistence, even when you might feel ashamed. Ask, seek, knock. Ask and it shall be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Jesus says these amazing promises with certainty. But these promises also are at the root of a question that lingers for many of us. Actually, everyone and anyone who prays. Why doesn't God answer my prayers? I ask and it's not always given. I seek and I don't find. Doors stay shut. And we're not talking about extravagant requests, not like the Ferrari or the first class flight. Maybe it's moderate, sensible, trying to find affordable housing in the city, getting a job that doesn't suck the life out of you. And many of us have prayed unselfishly for good and worthy things for the sake of other people, physical healing, mental health, food for the hungry, freedom for the oppressed, the end of fighting within families, the end of war between nations. Oftentimes our prayer to God, it feels like God is distant or maybe just unconcerned, that God is ignoring our persistent knocking. Do not bother me, the door is locked and the kids are sleeping. So it's natural to ask, does God always answer our prayers? Sometimes when we ask, when we search and we knock, we receive an affirmative answer, sometimes right away. A green light, go. And these are good news stories, the ones that we celebrate and give thanks and we kind of come around a community and we say, amazing. And then there are those times when we don't get what we ask for. Sometimes it's an obvious reason. A child asking for chocolate for dinner? No. A desire to get ahead at the expense of someone else? No, red light. And there are times when we may not understand straight away why the answer is no. Even Jesus, who prayed, who teaches us to pray, he also received a no. Before he was killed at the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Because Jesus knew the cross. He knew suffering and pain were ahead. No. Jesus' request was denied. So perhaps you're praying for healing of a parent, for a child, maybe for yourself. And we have to wait until we see God directly to ask why. Why not? But for now, we won't fully understand. We won't be satisfied. Other times we're going to ask and we're going to pray and God's answer is a yellow light, wait. We're like little children maybe asking for the keys to the car and of course we're going to say no, but not no as never ever, but wait. Wait until you're 16, maybe until you're 18. Wait. God is always listening. God is answering our prayers. Yes, no, wait. Sometimes we need to be persistent. We need to continue knocking. And sometimes we won't like the answer. So we've covered the how, a bit of the why of prayer. But in the end, these are really just secondary to the bigger question of who. Who are we praying to? Who is listening to our prayers? It's in this second short mini parable that we hear the fuller character of who. If your child asks for a fish, will you give a snake? If your child asks for an egg, will you give a scorpion? The answers are obvious, no and no. When we are honest with ourselves, we know that we are imperfect. And parents often tell me that they are shocked by the weight of responsibility to raise and nurture children, especially when it's their first. So imperfect as human parents are, we still know how to give children good gifts. So Jesus isn't focusing on us being evil parents, but he is focusing on how much more will God, a perfect, loving God, our Father in heaven, give good gifts to all God's children. God gives good gifts, not bad ones or hurtful ones like scorpions and snakes. So during this season of Lent, we have been encouraging each person here to a deeper spiritual journey through prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And if you're starting on your spiritual journey or you're struggling just to pray more, as a church, we love teaching and reminding each other about praying and praying more deeply. As Jenny led that pre-Lenten prayer day in February, we're going to have Miranda also offering a workshop on contemplative prayer on Saturday, April 6. Try using the Lord's Prayer as a simple model. Try commit to it every morning before every meal. Maybe you've already been praying for others, interceding on the behalf of your family, on your colleagues. Take time to pause and wait for God. A good God, a Father in heaven who gives good gifts. And on the other hand, maybe you don't pray at all or you're not praying as often because you're thinking, what's the point? Nothing happens. Prayer is talking and listening to God. Talking and listening to someone is how we get closer to them, how we get to know them. And as William Temple, former Archbishop of Canterbury, says, when I pray, coincidences happen. But when I don't, they don't. Keep your prayers simple. Keep them honest. Keep them going. We worship a good, loving Father in heaven who delights to give good gifts to all God's children. Let me pray. God, our Father in heaven, we thank you for prayer that we can talk to you and listen to you. We praise you because you hear our prayers. We thank you for the good gifts you give us, yeses to prayer. And we praise you when we don't understand why the answer is no. We are sorry that we don't pray as much as you want to hear from us. And we ask for boldness for you to give your Holy Spirit to us. We want the Spirit of Jesus inside us. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. We pray this all through Jesus, our teacher, our Savior, our Lord. Amen.